This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. More than 30 million people have filed for unemployment in just 6 weeks. And as weeks of stay-at-home orders continue and jobless numbers climb, state governments and businesses are looking for ways to get people back to work. In Georgia, for example, a number of businesses have been able to reopen their doors this week under specific guidelines. We've got one Georgia business owner on the line with us now. Regina Herschel has a hair salon in Atlanta. Regina, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
So you were closed for a month. What was that like?
Oh, my goodness. It was horrible. I've been in business, for yourself. It's hard to close your doors for a month and get no income.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, no, you reopened this weekend?
I did. I opened on Friday, the first day the governor allowed us to go back.
And was that a tough decision for you, or did you feel it was necessary? Did you feel you had to, or did you just want to, or, was it hard? Was it a hard decision? I understand that some people had mixed feelings about it.
No, it wasn't a hard decision for myself. I'm just used to working, and I've never been laid off of work. And I was a little hesitant at first because of everything that's going on with the virus. But then once my phone started ringing from customers that was like, requesting me, it made my decision a little bit easier to do it.
So your customers have come back. They are coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. They are coming back. Yeah.
So here's a question. I don't know how you can socially distance when you're doing hair. How are you managing that? Are you wearing gloves, masks? How are you adopting these new guidelines to keep safe and your customers safe?
Okay, to keep myself and my customers safe, we both have to have on masks. I'm wearing a shield as well. You can't socially distance when you're actually doing hair, but majority of the time, you're behind the chair, so you're behind the person. And we're just keeping our conversations to bare minimum. We're wearing plastic gloves. And as far as if we're not servicing the customer at that time, then we're 6 feet apart from them. But we're just allowing one person in the salon at a time.
Oh, okay. Well, best of luck. Good luck with everything. Keep us posted on how it's going.
I sure will. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. That is Regina Herschel, and she runs a hair salon in Atlanta. I want to bring in NPR senior business editor Uri Berliner now. Uri, thankfully for Regina, her business seems to be holding up, even though, as you know, she said her phone is ringing, but she can only take one customer at a time. So that has to be interesting. And you've been reporting on how bigger companies are planning to reopen while also adhering to social distancing guidelines. What have you found in your reporting?
Right. I've been focusing a lot on companies with offices, essentially the white-collar workforce. And these employers are being super conservative about reopening. They have a lot of workers working remotely at home, and they're going to keep those workers at home working remotely for quite a while longer. And when the workplace does start to open up, I think we're going to see staggered shifts to prevent too many people from being in the office at any one time. So you may have an A team and a B team, and they don't interact. You may have temperature checks when you get to work, masks at desks, workers with masks at desks. And those open office plans that got really common, they're going to be totally reconfigured. There's a lot to figure out, like the break rooms, kitchens, things like that. There's just so many things, the air that flows through the building. And a lot of employers are trying to sort all this out right now.
And also, so are parents. And we have a question to that effect from Vicky in Massachusetts, who writes, for parents of 6 to 12-year-olds, when businesses reopen, what provisions are made for non-essential workers who have no daycare because schools and summer camp programs are closed? Uri, what about it?
Yeah, this is a really tough one. And it's one of the biggest obstacles to bringing more people back in the workplace, especially people with young children. What I'd say to Vicky is if there's any way that she can do her job remotely, that's the best option, to work at home with her kids at home. Now, I know that's not always the case for everyone. Not all jobs can be done from home. Maybe a flexible schedule is an option where, she works a certain schedule and then a spouse or a friend steps in and helps with the kids. You can ask your employer for a flexible schedule. If all that fails and that is not an option, no flexible schedule, you can't work remotely, there is one other option, though maybe it's not the best one. I've talked to labor law experts and they say you can quit your job and file for unemployments You know, under the pandemic benefits that are being offered, if you're an employee and your kids are at school or out of school, there's no daycare, you can quit and you can apply and you'll get federal benefits, that $600 a week from the CARES Act.
Here's another question from somebody in the event planning industry. And this is from Michelle in Orlando, who says she's really struggling to make ends meet. Here it is.
For all of our small businesses here in Central Florida, all our event-related companies, wedding planners, event rental companies, caterers, and all the specialty businesses that serve the wedding and event market, at this trying time, we want to understand how can we survive with all the high overheads that a lot of the businesses here in Central Florida have. We can't retain our employees. We can't pay the rent. So we're really looking for answers and help to understand, because a lot of the government programs are really not going to help make a dent in the situation.
I'm sure you've been hearing this, right? What do you have to say?
Yeah, I mean, the event business has just taken a huge hit, you know, whether it's conferences, concerts, sports, event planning. And it's a really difficult situation. Like if her employees are not on the payroll, if she doesn't have her employees, you know, perhaps she could apply for a small business loan and try and get some of those employees back on the payroll. But without that, this is a really tough business to be in right now. I know some people in the event planning business are discussing, you know, creative ways like to organize digital events in a really smart, clever way. And they're thinking ahead, not for now, but when there are events, maybe smaller events, rather than a huge wedding, a smaller one, but rather than a big conference, a much smaller one with very strict hygiene standards. But this is a really tough business to be in.
And here's a question I want to be sure that we get to, because we've heard this a number of times over the course of the last couple of weeks. This is from Joanna in California, who wants to know why mortgage companies are expecting to collect payments after a 90-day grace period. She writes, there won't suddenly be three times the income when things start to reopen. And she wants to know why the government isn't discussing this issue with companies. And Ori, we have heard this from a number of people, so I'm going to ask you to start your answer. And we need to take a short break in a minute, but if you don't have time to answer, we want to come back to that. So get started. What's the deal with that?
First of all, this shouldn't be happening. Federal housing regulators say they should not be doing this, that lenders should not be doing this, and that borrowers should go back to the lenders and say no lump sum payments after grace periods.
And how do they do that? Write a letter? What do they do?
You call them up. The federal regulators have been quite open in saying that there should not be any balloon payments, like 4 months of payments after you've had 3 months of grace period. You can go back to your lender and say, no, I want another option, like putting my payments at the back of the loan.
Okay. We need to take a short break. Uri Berliner is going to stay with us. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.